step, Omega step, Kappa step, Sigma step, gangsters.
Welcome back to the Black Is 10 Minute Break with yours truly, KC Layman. We have another beautiful round table for tonight's discussion. Joining us tonight are Brother T, Toria Williams, Tash Mosley, Mike Eagle, rap musician, Kwabena Hafar, Leisha Mack, and my other half, Chris Layman. And tonight's topic is Black Greeks, help or hindrance? I say that somewhat facetiously. Part of the reason why this topic came on the table is because I grew up in a family, a Los Angeles family, that was not what you would consider, quote unquote, social. None of my people's, well, my, take that back, my, the man who raised me, my stepfather, is a Kappa. But I did not come from a family that had like a legacy of people who were in these organizations, the fraternities and the sororities. I was not a member of any little social group, the little precursor groups that you find out about in junior high and high school. And so it felt like when I did learn about them, that there was like this whole Black community that I was not privy to based on my socioeconomic status. I have since then learned a lot about the Greeks. I'm married to a member of AFIA and have learned a lot through his experience. But I want to know what you all think about these groups, the Black Greeks. Because the one thing that I do feel I was taught is that these are groups that were brought together and developed to help strengthen the Black community. And I do have to say, I don't see a great presence of that really happening in regards to community service, not in large numbers to the point where I can say, oh yeah, this group is handling business over here, this group is taking care of business over there. So.
Okay, well, I will jump in. I am a member of the Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, 06. My father was an Alpha. My mother's father was an Alpha. My mother's an AKA, her mom was an AKA, so I come from that. My parents never pushed it on me. When I got to college, you know, I didn't have a father who was like, this is what you're going to pledge or you need to pledge or anything like that. I had given it some thought. I can say I didn't pledge until I got out of college. Probably because my mother was like, I have 4 years to get out. So, you know, or else it's on you. So I did have an interesting viewpoint in seeing it, you know, meeting a lot of people who going to a Black college who did not like the Greeks at all. It felt like they were somewhat segregated. Like they only, once you got in, you only hung around with people, with other Greeks. So I do think they help in the sense that there is a sense of brotherhood that isn't involved in it. There is a lot of community service that goes along with it. You've had brothers like, I guess, for Dr. King, Thurgood Marshall, Marc Morial, who are frat, but don't, I guess they don't put it out there like, hey, guess what, I'm a frat, just in case you need to know. They usually do their work, you know, from behind. And, you know, if you ask them, they'll probably tell you, but I don't think they make it, put it up front like that. Mm-hmm. But I do think they do help in a sense. I do see where they can hinder, where you feel like you're elite now or you can't hang with people who aren't, you know, in a Greek fraternity or sorority. I know there's been a lot of, can be that way with sororities. Of course, I've heard the brown paper bag test with the AKAs back in the day where mm-hmm. if you darken in the brown paper bag, you can't get in. So I know there's a history of that, but I would say there is more of, they do help than hinder.
Okay.
I like to speak to my experience in college. I went to all-male, historically Black college, and they had very few Greeks. But my senior year, the Alphas were allowed to come back on campus. And then it was, the negative I saw were brothers who were friends for 4 years. Now we had Omegas, and now we had Alphas. And now they had a problem with each other. Senior week, there's a problem. There's beef going outside the club. Why? Because one person, you know, got wood, one person had to apply. That starts a beef right there. Not to mention the Alpha Omega thing. And I just, from then on, I was like, why? And then now to see these brothers, they don't pay their dues to their organizations. And this is something that some people miss spring break for. They miss big things in our college careers just to do this one thing that they're not even part of anymore. So I just always see it as another fraction in the Black community where I think we're already fractured.
No, it is funny like that. I mean, it's funny because I liked the movie School Days, and it was funny seeing that before I crossed it afterwards. But that part that you're saying, that is unfortunate. I don't know why. I guess I understand why it happens. It shouldn't. They should be a lot smarter than that. But some people, it's one of them things like, oh, I'm part of a group. I'm part of a social club. And I can't hang with you because you're not part of this club.
So should they be an undergrad anymore? Or do you think they should be just a graduate thing?
No, I think it should be undergrad. I mean,
but undergrad is where the problems come, the hazing.
Well, I'll put it this way. They put out there that they don't haze. So if there's some that do,
right.
It come is.
Okay, see.
I'm sure it's mm-hmm. underground. There's some that do, but it's the choice of those particular individuals to haze.
I mean, end up being a power thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you hear incidents where a lot of kids are getting hurt. You know, the kids, they make them drink gallons of water or just doing, nasty going overboard. Stuff. I mean, I understand you kind of, you know, you push them, you test them. But I'm a member, and, you know, I don't haze at all. I mean, that's unnecessary. You just want to see
that's
them.
That's your official line?
Yes, that is my official line. I don't haze. Yeah, I don't.
And your official line is also that you weren't hazed? That's your official line as well? Oh, you said you were?
No, I wasn't. You know, I came in as an alumni, so I didn't get the full
treatment.
Online. If I was an undergrad, you know, I'm partly, you know, I can understand why. I mean, there's division in that. I can understand why a lot of undergrads don't like the Brothers Who Pledge alumni because they're like, well, you didn't get the full experience. You know, you weren't online for X amount of months. 1 year when the AKAs came back online,
right.
And at our school, and they were gone for a while for some. I'm not gonna say, but they were banned for a while, and they came back, and they had about 50 girls, and it was like a weekend. And a lot of the other AKAs, they were just like, oh, y'all the paper AKAs. Y'all just came in, paid your money, whatever. Oh, you in. And it was like, what's up with that? I mean, it was a lot of that gold. There's a lot of infighting in it as well.
You know what? I'm going to say from my experience, they should get rid of the graduates. And they should only have an undergraduate. Because that's really all it's about, honestly. It's only about your experience going through what you go through with the people you go through it with. And the time that you're there on campus and everything after that doesn't really mean anything. I know a lot of people in my experience that have done it, alumni done it, you know, wherever city they choose to start or living at after the fact. And, you know, because they didn't do it in undergrad. And it's just a thing about paying dues and a thing about meeting once a month. But really the whole thing that powers the entire experience of it, from my experience, is just the undergrad brother, sister thing. And it's not a, I mean, people say it's about service. I don't think it is, really. I think it really is. I mean, you know, as color folks, we are very prone to tribalism. And it's not a bad thing. It's what we do. And I think in whatever situations we get in, we form things to recreate that over and over again. Mm-hmm. We make fake tribes based on all kind of, and I don't say fake to mean it like it's a negative thing, but that's what we're doing. We create organizations based on people who we think are like-minded or like whatever. You know, you look at a group of people and you see that they have that they represent something that you might want to represent, and you get down with them. Like, this is who I'm down with, and that's mm-hmm. really what it's about. I mean, I think protracted. When it comes to you being an adult and you being an alumni, and it's really just all about paying dues to make sure the organization is able to put out whatever publication they're putting out. Like, it's not, that's not really what it is. I think the whole thing is powered by the undergraduate experience, and I think that's another thing we gotta unpack. We've been talking about unpacking things all night.
But even that too. I was gonna say, even in the undergraduate experience, I do think there is a level of elitism when it mm-hmm. comes to it. And I think that's supposed to be like part of the point of it, mm-hmm. which that's the last thing we need to have in our community is just like, as you said, another divide. Because you do see people who go through it and change themselves completely. And that for me was always the greatest issue. It was, you know, not only it being something that seemed like a secret club everybody couldn't know anything about, but once you cross, it was like people coming out of cocoons turning into butterflies. All of a sudden, the person who was just like real sweats, hoodie, backpack. Now you lettered out, you know what I'm saying? You can only kick it with this clique of people. And the one time that I really learned a lot about the Alphas was when we went to the Centennial in 2006. That was beautiful, okay? It was a completely different thing. Here was this event with all these black people and all this history of this organization. And it was more, it let me know that there was more to it than this whole elitist mindset. I got to know, you know, the men who started it, why they started it, and the principles behind it. That for me was beautiful. The attitudes of some of the people, though, who join up with these organizations who need a sense of security and feel like this is now their security blanket and all of a sudden change who they are because they have these letters on their back, that to me is whack. If you still are who you are, okay, cool.
But if you look at it, all, any and all of the organizations and the climates that they were started in, you will find that they were all started for very great reasons in very tough circumstances. And those groups of brothers and sisters, no matter what campus they were on, like that was a very difficult and brave thing for them to do, was establish these black student organizations right. In the midst of everything that they had to deal with.
Right.
But so much of it has gotten lost.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, mm-hmm. So much of it is watered down mm-hmm. to where, like, even the rituals, the pledging, the hazing that you go through, a lot of, well, I can say each thing that you go through has a deeper meaning, but the people who teach it to you don't know the real meaning. So then you just get the act and you don't get the meaning mm-hmm. unless you're aware enough to kind of try to find out later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big problem with a lot of these organizations, too. Like, yeah, you come out, you know, puffing your chest up and holding your head up high because you go through some real BS, some real super stupid, crazy madness, you know, and it's the kind of stuff that you go through that you'll really find out who you are
mm-hmm.
and you will come out more confident.
Mm-hmm.
But without the knowledge and the context of what everything means, then, yeah, you don't take it and become a superhero in your community. You become a superhero at the party.
Right.
You don't get the whole connection.
Okay.
You know?
And I think if you think about the age of undergraduates, we're talking about the ages of 18 to 22. Everybody's going through an identity stage at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, it's Greek. Some people, it's a religious cult. Some people, you know, because when I thought about, I'm not a Greek. And that was the vibe I was on. That's who I was from 18 to 22. I don't need no other people to make me feel like I'm somebody. That was what I was carrying. So that was my sorority, that attitude.
Right.
But I would hate, the me for me. I don't need other sisters telling me power to the community. Right. But I would hate to see the organizations disappear.
This is true.
Because when I look in my field that I work in, when I have to look for a group of men to mentor to our men, the first thing that pops in my mind are the Greek fraternities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's where we've had to rely on, and it's been successful, you know, and I'm legitimately believing these brothers. I don't think they just all woke up like one time a year, we're going to go help some poor black kids. I know constantly that this is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't fault fraternities and sororities for what they are between at the undergraduate level, because that's who everybody is at 18 or 22.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who you are, so you're attracted to some kind of a group.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, just a disclaimer, I'm an AKA. Pledged as an undergrad, so in college, my first quarter, we were on the quarter system at Northwestern, of my sophomore year. So basically my entire practically college experience, it was being Greek. I only went my freshman year without being Greek. And even then, I was halfway involved anyway. So that was really my college experience. So I have, but I am now like the classic, typical, haven't been in a grad chapter yet, and I'm not involved at all anymore. So I'm ashamed of myself for that. But I do think that it's like a clique, like any other clique that exists. And I think it's human to be in a clique. Like, it's not even like black, white. Like, I mean, everybody gravitates towards people that they feel good about being with or whatever. Or especially if you feel like you're elevating yourself in some way. Like, I think that's very like tempting and, you know, seductive. So I think that's the big thing. But like for me, going to a white school, we provided the majority of the social world for black people at Northwestern. Mm. So without Greeks, I don't know what we would have done. And it was vital in that way, even if you want to look down on like the whole social aspect. But I mean, that was huge for us. Like every weekend we had a party, and like if there weren't that, we had nothing to do in Northwestern, like nothing. And mm-hmm. the white fraternities and sororities are like 50% of the campus. So, I mean, that was the bulk of the social world, was like the frat houses and everything for them. So we could either go party with them or have our own parties or whatever. So it was huge. It was a big part of my college life, and it was a positive thing for me. And all my friends to this day are from my sorority, but they were my friends before, so I'm kind of weird in that way. Like, we all pledged together, kind of. But
your clique all went in the same direction.
Yeah, but no, some of my friends became Deltas, but we still stayed friends, like, believe it or not. We were weird in school.
She's scratching right now.
But I will say, I think they provide something. There's definitely something to be provided by sororities and fraternities, and I absolutely think there is something to the process. I think it's obviously been diluted, like he said, and I think the hazing out of control is obviously not okay. And I would be pissed if I found out my kid was like being beaten every night. You know, I wouldn't be happy with that. But at the same time, like, there, to me, there should be some sort of process that you have to learn about the history. You have to, you know, you should know what you're doing if you're going to take it seriously. So, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to tout more of the positives. Even if it is a purely social, no community service, it still is positive to me. Like, I still see the positive in that.
Well, that's what my one issue with them has been. Is like, what do they offer? What is that value? And it always seems to come about, like, for me, they seem to provide an instant history for people. It's like seven guys who are in a room who formed a clique. You know nothing about them, provided, you know, you aren't a legacy. And all of a sudden, because this organization or the people on your campus are cool or something about it, like it's initiation process, you have to want it against all odds, which is like the power of persuasion. That's when you want something really good, when you have to actually go through a hard time to get it. You latch on, you learn this history, and all of a sudden now it's, you, and once you're a member, it's your history. And I've always found it really interesting, Black people's affiliation with Greek and the history they attach themselves to, because we have so many other great historical stories that we could be telling ourselves and latching onto, and groups, whether it be, you know, the Urban League or the NAACP. And of course, I'm sure someone who's Greek here will be, you know, eager to mention that the members of these groups or the heads of them were probably founded and are now, you know, Greek members. But I've always found it just a real peculiar thing. Like, and I've always thought it was cloaked in this idea of community service. Like, every time I read some of the material on a couple of the fraternities, like, you know, they really stress community service. But like Mike was saying, they never really addressed the tribalism. The community service was like a tagline to dodge the exclusivity factor. It was the classism. I was like, why don't we just be upfront about it? It's a clique, and it's all right, and it's an instant history. Like, let's just have it for what it is.
I do want to interject and say this from my experience in my organization, that there is a lot of, and it's part of the reason why I won't say what organization I belong to, so I can say this, that underneath and in terms of the secrets of our organization, there's a lot of teaching, a lot of the dogma, I would even go as far as to say that is African underneath it. And that's,
well, see,
that's
when
expelled,
people
but
say
you,
stuff like that to me, I automatically assume that this is revisionist history. And it's such a bad assumption for me to make. But I also, like, when someone creates an organization and they have their founders and they have the story that they tell, like at the Centennial, and I'm not trying to harp on alphas or anything, but that you mentioned the beauty of the history and the legacy that these people belong to. It's like, you know, if the seven of us right here decided we were going to start an organization in the history and we were going to let the people who know who came up underneath us how our story would be told, I'm sure our shit would look really good. I know mine would, the section on me. And so, and then when we want to decide, and, you know, this, I'm sure these guys and women were intellectuals or, you know, young, thoughtful people on the way to being intellectuals or good spirits. And when they think about what they're creating and how they want it to mean in the world, they can easily draw some connection or inference,
but, you know,
to Africanism.
What a lot of them definitely were Scottish Rite and Prince Hall Masons. And In what the Masons are taught is a lot of what came from the Egyptian mystery schools. And that's not a secret amongst them. Like, there's Africanness in a lot of it, and it's not hidden. But when in when you're in the organization, it's given to you in a real way, and that's one of the things that you're not supposed to talk about. And that's what kind of creates a space between the people in organizations, the people out of organizations too, is that a lot of what you're not supposed to talk about is the real goodness in what you get.
Gangsters walk, pimps gon' talk. Oh, hecky no, that boy is raw. AKA Step.